Consent Podcast.
Hey everyone, just want to give a big shout out to our December sponsor, F1 Delta Time. F1 Delta Time is an officially licensed Formula One blockchain-based game that utilizes the Ethereum blockchain to bring you a full Formula One racing experience, coupled with a revolution in gaming in the form of true digital ownership and a play-to-earn model. F1 Delta Time is all about collecting scarce digital items to fill your garage and leveraging these items to go head-to-head in multiplayer racing. Visit f1deltatime.com to join in various events running throughout December. That's f1deltatime.com. Hey everybody, it's Matthew, and my dude Rizzo and I are back with another episode of the Matthew and Rizzo Show. Our guest this week is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Connie Digital. He hopped on and we probably had, at the same time, the realest chat we've had, or I feel like we've had all year, and one of the funniest. We had a ton of laughs. We got into some really serious issues. Of course, we started off talking about Connie's new project, Danky.club. Talked about all his contributions to social money, crypto art, audio NFTs. We got into some really spicy hot takes, which was, I'll just let everyone listen to them and take from them what you will. But it was a pleasure to get raw and gritty with Connie for a minute. We also talk about some of his upcoming collabos and get into the subject of burnout or feeling like you just need a break in the space that moves so quickly. And also how the space itself is so energizing and really kind of pushes us forward to maybe go past what we think are natural limits. So we cover a ton of ground. It was really, really, really fun. I can't say that enough. Connie is the absolute man. He's a legend. I hope everyone walks away from this with an even deeper understanding of how much work and blood and sweat and love this man is putting into the space. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy our conversation with Connie Digital.
Okay, Connie, welcome back to the Matthew and Rizzo Show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, really stoked to have you back. Always nice to have a repeat guest such as yourself on the show. Obviously, most people, 99.9% of people listening will recognize you. But for that 0.1% of folks who's like, Connie, who? Tell them who you are.
Digital. Yeah, so I'm a Web3 content creator. I'm an artist. I tokenize my artwork as NFTs. I'm also a musician. I'm into audio NFTs as well. I'm also a social money issuer behind the token Hue, among other things. I'm a writer, et cetera, et cetera. So that's me.
And I feel like last time we had Connie here, I just like goofed around the entire time and like cracked jokes. Like the three of us go like way, way, way back to like old school scent days and everything. And we like hung out at NFT NYC together. And I've actually been like trying to get Connie to do things with us either in our Discord or get him to do his own like podcast or something. And that's sort of how this got started. And I feel like partially Connie just wanted to hop on this podcast to tell me and Matt how stupid of an idea it was for us to try and convince him to do his own podcast solo. However, I know you've got like some irons in the fire and you just dropped your own platform. I don't know if you want to like talk a little bit about that and like the mechanics of how that works, but that was one of the reasons why I was pushing you to do your own thing, partially for selfish reasons, because I knew like a lot of people in our Discord would really be into it, but also because you've got a lot of interesting projects going on that, you know, deserve a voice behind them. And you're actually like a really fun guy to talk to, even though you don't want to do a solo podcast by yourself. So what's up, dude? Tell us how the venture is going. Tell us like why the podcast did not work out, and you know, maybe we can get solutions.
Shit. Man, I can curse on here, right? That's
yeah. We don't give a shit, dude.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so, I don't, at least.
Yeah, man, when you reached out about the podcast, I was just like, all right, cool, man, like that sounds good. It'll be an opportunity to, you know, show a different side of myself and also, you know, maybe self-promote my music and shit like that, right? But So I created like an intro and I called myself like recording the first episode and I had nothing to talk about. I mean, granted, I have plenty of shit I could talk about, but like talking to myself in my dining room, like with a mic was just weird as hell. I was just like, this shit is not for me. Like maybe with a co-host or some shit like that, but I need somebody to feed off of. But so yeah, that's why that podcast didn't happen. And it's kind of why this episode did happen. So kudos to you either way, Rizzle.
Nice, awesome.
Yeah, so the platform that you reference, right? So, you know, a lot of the social money issuers have been using like Telegram and Discord to kind of be like community hubs for their supporters and the people who use their token. And I kind of wanted to do something different. I kind of felt like Discord and Telegram were lacking in like user experience and just like their overall discoverability, right? Because they're kind of like stuck within those apps. So I wanted to try a different platform that was more open to the web, where I could be discovered like with, you know, SEO and like sharing links on Twitter and social media, whatever. So I launched my own platform called Denki.club, which is currently invite only, as I kind of figure out how things work and kind of build the engagement and, you know, just figure shit out before I open it up to a broader audience. But it's built on a platform called Tribe, which is like a community platform with a lot of different features. It's really robust. And actually, in January, I believe they'll be opening up their version 2 beta. So a lot more stuff coming in the future. So hopefully, depending on how that goes, I will open up the platform maybe in February. We'll see.
Dude, Connie, always trailblazing,
always pushing
the future. Right? No, seriously, before everyone was really focused in VR, before people were looking into NFTs, like way before people were into audio NFTs, dude, Connie, you were always kind of all in the neighborhoods, kind of kicking tires before the crowds came there. And again, a couple weeks ago or a month ago or something, I was just saying like the future can't be like hundreds of Discords. It's obviously not Telegram, which has been a terrible product for a long time for me personally. So it makes sense for someone like yourself to kind of look for a better option, at least for the foreseeable future, for a creator like yourself, and setting up your own post on top of this newer product, which has an old name. Tribe is like it was the name of a social network that was existing literally before Facebook. I'm not sure if it's the same thing or like reincarnated or whatever, but it's really interesting that you chose to kind of head in that route as opposed to setting up yet another Discord. And it's just, again, another instance of you really, really, I think, leading out on your own what makes sense for you, and in a way that I'm sure other folks are going to replicate and follow in the not too distant future. But like, can you let folks know sort of what they could expect on Denki.club? Is it going to be utilized like a Discord, or like, what are some of the ideas that you have for it heading into 2021?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So, you know, one of the advantages of Discord and Telegram, right, is the idea that you can create these bots. So a lot of people in the social token space have been experimenting with like gated access, where you have to hold a certain amount of tokens to maybe access a different channel within a Discord server, which I think is super fascinating. It's limiting in a sense that you're kind of forcing people to either earn or purchase a certain token amount to gain access to like a group chat, which is, I mean, it's a use case, but you know, I think we could do better than that. So, one of the things I will be exploring is actually, you know, doing some token gating access myself, but by partnering with a new startup called DFame. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with DFame, but it's DFAME.app, and they're focused on the social money space as well. And so hopefully in the near future, I'll do some experiments, not only token gating Denki.club, but also hopefully my CryptoVoxels parcel as well. But right now, within the club, there's different feeds, sort of like you would find in Discord. I have a feed for art and collectibles. I have a feed for Web3 music, just general topics, things like that. And right now it's invite only. Like I said, you can get an invite by redeeming the invite on a roll for like 100 HU, something, you know, really cheap. I'm trying to keep it really small, like I said, as I kind of figure things out. But yeah, so right now, one of the experiments I'm doing is based on earning. I'm really big on the idea of earning these tokens opposed to purchasing them. Mm-hmm. So I have a reputation score leaderboard sort of thing. And based on where you rank, if you make your way into the top 10, you earn a certain amount of hue. So if you happen to make it to the top spot as the most reputable user, you earn like 1500 hue for that week. And then every week, the reputation score is reset back to zero. So it kind of incentivizes people to be more active and engage and kind of like, you know, post and comment so they can build up their reputation score for that week so they can earn more hue. So it's really fascinating right now to see how people are taking to it.
Is token gating a term that you just came up with or have come up with? I've never heard that before, but I feel like it's a great term that is like obviously applicable in many situations right now.
I wish I could take credit for that. But no, token gating, I first heard it from Jennifer Tran, who is one of the co-founders of DFame. Cool. So credit to her.
That's a great term. So dude, when I try and put you in a box, which I realize that I shouldn't do, but when I think of you in my head, I'm like, you know, Connie's like artist, musician first. And I don't necessarily like associate you with like web development skills and like building these platforms and everything. So are these skills that you've always had, or are you like learning on the fly as you do this, or like where, because like in my head, I'm like, yo, this platform sounds awesome. Like, but in terms of like actually creating something like that, that's like out of my league. So yeah, how did you get from zero to the point where you are now with skills that you had, or did you farm out, or yeah, how did that come about?
Yeah. So like, it's just tinkering. Like I've always been like playing and experimenting with, you know, different tech all the way back to like MySpace days, right? Where you can customize different aspects of your MySpace. And, you know, throughout the years, I would experiment with building my own websites, not necessarily building in the sense of coding, because I'm not a dev in that sense, but more so using out of the box, like white label sort of solutions, and then tinkering them and customizing them to my needs and specifications. But I really just like the aesthetic and like coming up with like, you know, the color palettes and the design. And even now with the social token, it's like coming up with different incentive mechanisms. Shout out to Scent for that too. That was really like the first real like good implementation of like incentivized social actions. And I'm trying to kind of like replicate that in my own way with this new platform. But yeah, like I've always been like tinkering. I've been a marketer for years. So that plays into it too. So that kind of, you know, touches on the writing, and then we get into the art and music. So yeah, I've been like doing all this shit for years in different, you know, forms and fashion.
Dude, let's get some spice in this conversation. What's your hottest take at the moment?
My yeah. hottest take?
Oh, right there. Yeah, man, let's talk about all the people who've been like ripping your shit off. Who's... Let's just dive right into it. Good segue, Matthew.
Give that spicy take. Yeah, help wake me up, man.
Fire some shots, man.
No, I'm, you know, I'm not going to fire any direct shots, but I am not a fan of whale. I will say that. I am not
a
whale.
Direct shot. Yeah, it is, right? I will not fire any direct shots except for this shot that I'm about to fire right now.
Bow.
No, yes, I mean, keep it coming, man. No more indirect shots like that.
Listen, it's just based on the experience that I've had, like when the whole thing launched and like my involvement, non-involvement with the project and just how I was approached by the whole thing. I didn't really respect the way that went down. I'm not going to get into too many details. Well, Sharks knows exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't necessarily understand it per se as far as like backing the token with NFTs, because, you know, when the token started, it was 20 cents, something like that. Then, you know, within like 2 months or something, it shot up to $14 and now it's down to like four. So I don't understand if the value of the NFTs rose and then completely tanked. Like, how does that work based on the pricing of the token since it's collateralized by these NFTs? Like, I don't understand. But, you know, maybe somebody can educate me on that.
I don't know, Matthew, can you educate him on that? I have no idea. I honestly have some of the same questions myself. Like, without like firing direct shots, I mean, it is a genuine, like, genuinely good question, right? The token fluctuates. It's supposed to be tied to the vault. What happens to the vault? I don't know. Honestly, like, I feel like every time I open up my Twitter feed, everyone's like making a new vault. All of a sudden, there's all these vaults out there. And I'm like, does anyone really give a shit about these vaults? I have no idea. It just seems like an arbitrary thing to attach some value to that you then like release a coin around. And maybe it is a great idea that I'm just like not seeing the, like, you know, tie into, but, you know, I feel like that's a fair point.
It's interesting, though, because it's more about like the future expected value from any of those NFTs when they start selling them, that there is the, at least, quote, in air quotes, promise that sales from those NFTs will be kind of like put back into the community in the form of whale. So right now it's just like typical, it's based on however much ETH or whatever people collateralize whale with in Uniswap. With the idea that in the future, somehow, like, this $1.4 million or $2 million in NFTs will eventually somehow get sold or something, maybe fractionalized, and then somehow that'll go back into the price of whale. But again, it's all speculation, and it's all kind of just ideas. But that's interesting, though. That totally spiced up my morning.
There you go.
Yeah. Who's next?
I mean, I could keep going, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Keep going, man. We got time. That's why. Who else?
No, it's not any person per se, but I'm also not a fan of Nifty Gateway. And I know that's probably like unpopular, but I also have a story about that. And this, like, I have reasons for feeling the way I feel, right? Because back in August in 2019, like, I was in conversation with Nifty Gateway before they relaunched their new art platform. Back when they were just doing like accepting credit cards for NFTs. And like, we had various conversations, and in fact, like, they were async art before async art was async art. Like, they had this programmable smart contract to update artwork similar to async, but they didn't really pursue that. But I tested it, and I also, you know, beta tested their website. I've seen their mockups. I gave them feedback. I showed them different websites where they can find artists on ArtStation and Behance and Dribbble. And like, I gave them the keys, the tools without expectation. And maybe it's my fault for expecting anything. But when they relaunched, like, I didn't get any message like, hey, thanks for your help. We're relaunching. Or, hey, would you like to participate in the launch? Or, hey, I mean, maybe again, it's my fault for expecting something, but the person I am, I would have been like, hey, I appreciate your time and effort. Thank you for everything you've done as far as like giving feedback and shit like that. Would you like to participate in this launch or even something like that? But so that's why I'm not a fan. But
dude, attribution. I think that's been a recurring theme, and the lack of attribution. For especially the paths that you have paved for so many people. This is something I try to kind of reiterate. And whenever I can, I try to shout you out and then point out what you've done for other folks and stuff like that in my own small way. But I feel like, again, I don't know if it's like intentional or non-intentional. People just aren't, it's not at the forefront of people's minds. But for me, it's something that's so important, especially with how early like this whole NFT land scene is. It's really not that old. So when people like do things, you kind of got to remember it so that when it actually blows up, you got to give respect and pay the proper dues to the people that helped pave the way to get you there. Usually I don't attribute the lack of attribution to anything like malice or anything like that, but it's not a good look. And we got to have better memories in this space, I think. But
dude, I've almost tagged Connie in a couple posts recently, man, because I feel like, you know, we're experiencing some of the same thing. I mean, how many like spin-off projects have you and I seen, Matt, that are like trying to mimic the whip? Or how many spin-off Discords now are trying to imitate exactly what Token Smart's doing? And I feel what, like, you know, a taste of what Connie's been experiencing this whole time, because no one's like shouting us out when they're doing this stuff. No one's like, hey, we like really want to be just like you guys, or whatever. And, you know, I feel like in some ways, like, imitate, you know, there's that like phrase, imitation is like the greatest form of like flattery or whatever. But in some ways, I feel like that's just a phrase like people say to like shut you up when people steal your shit. It's like, it's not, true, man. It's not flattering. You're trying to mooch off of our shit and like not give credit where credit is due, and that stuff drives me crazy, honestly. And so I you know, feel some of the residual effects of what Connie's saying. I don't want to stop you, man. If you got more shots to fire, fire some shots. Maybe I'll just stop there, man. You got some more in your clip?
Yeah, the drama is real. No, man, I guess I'll leave it there. We can move on to something a little more positive, maybe.
The flip side, man. I mean, you know, aside from Matthew and myself, who are obviously the people who love you more than anyone in the entire metaverse and have always been in your corner from day one. I'm joking, but all jokes aside, like, who do you feel is on the flip side or has been, like, you know, respectful of, like, you know, the mark you've made on this space and has been upfront with you and, you know, transparent and collaborative, like, who's on the flip side of the shots fired?
Yeah, no, shout out to both of you guys. Like, I really do appreciate the support. Like you said, like, this has been like a day one thing back 2019 Scent days. So I really do appreciate the support. And, you know, in that vein, like, if I go back to Scent, I'm thinking about Conlin. I'm thinking about all the people who signed my shout out wall. Like,
oh yeah, I saw that the other day again. I love seeing the wall again. That's so,
yeah, the wall is back. The wall is back. I want to tag it up. Like, I want to maybe do sponsorships where I can have projects tag up the wall as well as individuals and things like that. So I have some ideas regarding that. But also, I mean, shout out to Jim. I mean, Jim recognizes the pioneering ways with the audio NFTs. He mm-hmm. sent me messages about that. You know, William, shout out to William from, he does the Hump Day Report, right? I forget his yep. last name. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Peaster.
Yeah, exactly. He did a great piece about the evolution of music and like where NFTs and audio are going. So shout out to him too. You know, I'm sure I'm missing a lot of names, but I have a lot of supporters, and I'm thankful and appreciative of everybody who does give me credit when I need it and deserve it. So,
yeah, dude, you deserve it. When, you know, now I feel like it's developing your own social currency for your project or platform is almost like you basically need to. And, you know, when you did it, it was an entirely experimental concept that frankly I thought was like not a great idea and like a horrible undertaking that would just be like, you know, a drain on time and energy and everything. And, you know, here we are, obviously like a year later or so, and I'm, you know, completely wrong. All the credit to you for that. So is the platform is cool, man. It's a cool idea to have this thing. And I had a chance to check it out. And one of the things that I like about it that specifically Discord is lacking, which the search engine optimization aspect of it didn't occur to me, but that is an obvious aspect of it that is helpful on your platform. But, you know, Discord and Telegram and a lot of, you know, Twitter, you know, a lot of these things you post things on and they just disappear and they're gone. And your site seems to have like more opportunities for like long form posts that you can then like repost to in terms of like more of like a static site. Is that your main focus at this point, like building that out? Or, you know, I know you're always working on like a few things at once. What's like dominating your time these days?
Yeah, good question. I mean, that site is definitely dominating my time right now in the sense of like figuring it all out and trying to, you know, produce content for it and get some engagement behind it. I've been leaning more into music lately. Shout out to Mighty 33, Boomboxhead and Vandal. We all worked on a song together, which hopefully should be coming out soon. Hopefully we'll put together a video or NFT or something like that for the community as well. But I've really been leaning into my music. I'll be back in the studio tomorrow to record a song. Besides that, I guess just the website. Honestly, man, like, if I'm being completely transparent, like, I've wanted to stop doing all of this shit so many different times. And my girlfriend's just like, no, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. But really, like, back in March of this year, I was just like, fuck it. Like, I was done. But you know, there's always some new opportunity or some message or some person or something that happens that kind of just keeps me going. I participated in the Seed Club Incubator, which is a social token incubator, the first of its kind. And I participated in their first cohort back in October. And out of that incubation came Denki.club, this new website we're talking about. So that was kind of the genesis of that. And it's keeping me going. Like, honestly, before Seed Club, I was like, I don't want to do this shit anymore. Like, I wasn't having fun. I felt like everybody was doing the same shit. I felt like the oversaturation was starting to begin. And I'm just like, man, like, I don't know. So I think that's also why I kind of leaned into my music so I can express some of this stuff.
Oh, Seed Club is cool. Jess Sloss, aka like that tall guy, is behind that. I've been talking with him a lot about that. Do you want to kind of unpack what Seed Club is and what that experience was for you? Because I feel like that's something that's kind of special, and it's so brand new that most folks probably are unaware of it.
Yeah, sure. So again, like, this was a first of its kind, so we're still trying to like figure it all out. But essentially, I think there were about 6 or 7 of us, and we would do, you know, weekly calls twice a week. And we would, you know, do video calls and chat about our tokens, what we're doing with our tokens, why we launched our tokens, some of the learnings and experiences that we had with our tokens. And, you know, we would just try to figure out, you know, distribution and different strategies for like economic design and, you know, just kind of bounce ideas off of one another. And, you know, I think it was really beneficial to learn and listen to some of the other issuers on there. Some of those people include RAC, which is like a pretty popular musician, Alex Mezmez, hopefully I said his last name correct. Sorry, Alex. yeah. And then there was Dan from Collider and a few other people, Brian Flynn from Jam, who's starting Rabbit Hole, who was once at Dapper. So it was a pretty cool mix of people. Carlos from Forefront, which is like on the cutting edge of news and the market around social tokens. So it was good to build these relationships and just kind of figure out what this whole social token future looks like. And I'm looking forward to the second cohort and possibly participating in that and kind of helping maybe as some sort of advisor or something like that.
Anytime you bring folks together that are otherwise sort of like siloed in their individual pursuits, I just feel like that's a recipe for success. And you have these, like, I mean, the list that you rattled off, like, each one of those folks, including yourself, are doing amazing things. But I feel like there's so much to gain by bringing the silos down, helping really actually share the ideas that each of those creators has with one another, and then trying to develop solutions that everyone can kind of take and apply to their own individual pursuits. Just like, no brainer. So I think it's so cool what mm-hmm. Jess and the whole folk, all the folks at Seed Club have been kind of like pioneering and building out over there. And like you said, it's early days, about to get into the second cohort, blah, blah, blah. So wishing them the best of luck. Sorry, Rizzo, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good, man. You know, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, I've always been amazed that Connie has not like burned himself out at this point by like doing so many different things simultaneously. And what reminded me, that was something that you said, and it just brought me back to when he was doing like 10,000 things at Scent, and then he opened up the group at Scent, and then he unloaded the social currency. And I'm like, this dude must be working like 90 hours a week this, just maintaining all the currency distribution, this like group he's got going on top of like all the other stuff. I feel like we've all been there, right? And, you know, have to like sort of take a second and, you know, pause and figure out if this is the direction you want to go in. But I can't imagine what Connie Digital does if he walks away from this space? Like, what's your go-to, man? Like, you step away from this, and you, where do you apply for a job? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, what happens next, man? I feel like this is it, dude, for me, for you at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. When I have those conversations with myself, I'm just like, you know, prior to 2019, I was silent on social media. Like, I wasn't building a brand. I wasn't posting anywhere. I was working in marketing. I would help other companies like promote on social and build community and things like that. So I was working more behind the scenes. And I think that's part of it too. Like, I've been doing that for like probably 8 years at this point. So just like social now kind of feels like I am burnt out to an extent with that. So what would I do if I didn't do this? I don't know. Maybe just, I don't know.
Work behind the scenes promoting our stuff,
but definitely music. Like, maybe I'll just go sign it and just start posting music. Yeah.
Dude, let's get into music. Right. And music is something that you obviously had a long connection with. But since we, and I particularly started to get to know you, it's been a theme that you've been alluding to in your art. And then it was actual audio NFTs, making music linked with NFTs. And this is a question I'm going to throw out there. Like, is it audio NFTs, music NFTs? Like, what sounds better to you? That's the first question, throwing it out there. Bam, simmer on that. But where you are and where the scene is, it's grown like pretty quickly since then. Audius, I think, is probably a big reason for that coming in, and their mouths are, I don't know, I think they said something where in like million monthly active users or something like that. It's like a staggeringly large number, which is awesome. Then you have names like you mentioned, like Rack, there's Blau, more people coming into the scene. I'm really trying to turbocharge this, but I'm just curious, like, where you see music NFTs or audio NFTs going, and what the hell should we call this part of NFT land?
I go back and forth with myself about that too, as far as like, what do we call these things?
Yeah.
I don't know. Music NFTs, audio NFTs. I like the word audio visual. But you know, and then music and audio NFTs can mean different things, in the sense that like, you could write a song with lyrics and instrumentation and things like that, or you could just use like a simple sort of melody or beat to put to your music. Like, there's a wide range of things you could do as far as like audio. You can even turn this podcast into an NFT if you wanted to, right? So I think audio versus music might be two different sort of categories. I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to figure that out. But yeah, it is really fascinating to watch the space take off, not only from like the streaming perspective, right, with Audius and Emanate, but also from the NFT perspective, right? You have people like, you know, the team behind Little Michaela, who's like a virtual avatar character, who she created her first music NFT and dropped it on Super Rare for like 80,000 or something, and went for just the other day I seen a tweet that Deadmau5, who's like, you know, super popular EDM artist, he's dropping some collectibles, not audio collectibles, but just, you know, NFTs on Wax, the Wax blockchain. So I thought that was super fascinating too, to see him get into the space. But yeah, man, I think there's a lot of opportunity when you start talking about smart contracts, distributing royalties based on, you know, maybe the number of streams or listeners, you know, kind of like using Spotify or something like that. But then like having the collectability aspect as well. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm super bullish for the future of this category. And yeah, I just want to keep participating and contributing to the space.
If this music scene blows up, man, where do you see yourself playing a role like 5 years down the line? Are you like an artist on the forefront of things? Are you like almost like a record label, like bringing on new people and educating them into the space with everything that you've learned along the way? Is it some combination of the two? Like, what would you like to be doing in that space, you know, if everything plays out the way it should?
Yeah, I think it'd be a combination of the two. Still creating, still being able to express myself, get my emotions out, still being able to write and record and share that aspect of myself with people through music. Totally see myself doing that probably until I pass away. But I also like the idea of coaching and teaching and sharing my experience and knowledge and insight with people who were interested in this. Like, I've had numerous conversations with people who found my blog, Denki.art, and you know, they've read my posts and they got excited and intrigued, and they hit me up like, hey, like, so what's the deal with this whole music NFT thing? And so I like having those conversations because, you know, these people are like genuinely interested in participating and they're artists themselves, you know? So I like helping in that way. So I guess it'll be a combination, and, you know, we'll see what opportunities present themselves and what kind of feels right. And I think that might just determine the trajectory of where I go. Sorry, I just had a message.
It's good, man. Of the people who have hit you up, is there any like common thread? Like, you know, obviously you're like in the hip hop genre of music, or mostly, are these mostly like people from that niche, or is this just like NFT fans who are hitting you up, or random musicians, or is it like a little bit of everything, or like what's like the common denominator of the people who find your stuff and are interested in talking to you?
Yeah, it is a little bit of everything. Not so much hip hop, which is interesting. I think it's still more like electronic EDM based at this point. But yeah, so I'll give an example. There's this artist that I just found out about because he reached out to me because he read my blog post, which was super cool. And his name is My World. At least that's the name of his brand. It's My World, M-A-I World. And I checked out some of his music on Audius, and I was listening and I was like fucking blown away. Like, what the fuck? Like, this, like, dude, like, this shit is so dope. Like, he had to upload at least like a good 40 tracks. And I'm just going through and I'm hitting favorite because I'm like digging all of this shit. I'm like, yo, we have to work together. Like, so we got on a call, we started chopping it up. Like, he was telling me the things he was interested in, and I was sharing some of the information I had. And the next day we ended up in Crypto Voxels, and he's checking out my new remodeled Danky club. And he's like, dude, like, this is sweet. And he wants to get involved. So like, it's that sort of energy that is like contagious, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's that sort of person that's been hitting me up, you know?
Dude, is that not a microcosm of all the good things about this space, right? People hitting you up because of your pre-existing or the contributions that you've previously shared. You kind of discover an amazing new creator that you hadn't been aware of previously, and you kind of go down that creator/fan rabbit hole. And then it takes you to Crypto Voxels or somewhere in the metaverse, and you're kind of like floating around, flying around, doing all this other crazy stuff, having all these, like, your synapses are flying, coming up with cool ideas, collaborations and stuff like that. That is happening with much more frequency and regularity. And I'm just so, it just makes me even more bullish on this whole space, not just like the metaverse section of NFT land or crypto, not just music, not just art. Everything, it's all kind of working in tandem with the social tokens and DeFi, right? It's it's so beautiful. And again, for people that come in here, things move quick and it's easy to get tired, but it's that loop of meeting new great creators who are just so down to collaborate and share and create together that constantly invigorates me to keep going, even if I'm just not sleeping. And I'm sure it's the same thing for you too.
Yes, totally. I think you're right about that rabbit hole of finding new creators, and that excitement of like, man, like, it's like you said, the synapses just are going off, and yeah, it's a cool experience.
Yeah, I feel like all, like, the three of us and a lot of people who have been around in this space as long as we have, who have been like basically just super fans of this space, like laying the foundation for out of like pure like desire to just tinker around with things and see where it goes and everything. And I feel like the time is we're like right on the cusp of it, where we're really like reaping the benefits of laying a foundation tirelessly for a long ass time now. And now people are starting to like stumble on upon that and hit us up. And I'd really like to think, like, you know, we're right next to Connie on like CryptoVoxel's Mount Rushmore at some point, right? When they like, the monument to the true like OGs is erected in CryptoVoxel somewhere. I don't know, man, but I do feel like, honestly,
another,
man, like,
thing for Ben to do, get that.
Yeah, man. CryptoVoxel's Mount Rushmore. We'll see. We'll let Ben on it too, I guess.
Oh, seriously. Like, I just want to say before you continue, Rizzo, like, shout out to you guys. Cause the whip, like, I remember when that shit started, Matt, like, it wasn't what it is now. Like, you guys have accomplished is really like commendable. Like, kudos, hats off to you guys, because it's still going. And you have Whip Asia, and you got Whip in Decentraland now too. And it's like, it's really cool to see the evolution, and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So shout out to you guys, definitely on the CryptoVoxel's Mount Rushmore for
hell
sure.
Yeah,
thanks, dude.
Yo, but this is the kinship that I feel like we have together, man, right? Because we just started doing this thing without like really knowing what sort of shape it was going to take or where it was going to lead. We just started doing it just to see if we could do it and just to see what would happen if we did it, and just kept throwing shit at the wall to see what stuck and just rolled with what stuck. And I feel like your path is like adjacent to ours in terms of like what you're directly involved in, but also very similar in the sense that like, you weren't waiting for anyone to like create a blueprint for you. You just started doing things. And despite what people said, including myself, thinking that some of those things were like wacky off the wall ideas, which I'm sure a lot of people said about the Whip and a lot of our projects too. You know, there's a lot to be said for people who aren't afraid to just like keep doing shit and trying things and not being afraid to experiment. And I feel like part of it is if you stick with that mantra long enough, you eventually get credit. A few of those things work out, and then you start getting some credit for at least having been around a long time trying shit. But I feel like you're way beyond that at this point. There are a few people, we won't take any more shots, but there are a lot of people who have been like, you know, flailing around trying shit for a while that I wouldn't necessarily lump into the same category as yourself. No, man, I'm glad that you feel like you're starting to reap some of the rewards of the foundation you've laid for this space. And in my head, I feel like that's unavoidable moving forward for people to not eventually like go back. It's like, you know, you're a musician, man, and I'm a music lover. It's like when you stumble upon some new artist and then you're like, oh, I wonder what their influence is. And then you figure out what their influence is. And you're like, oh man, that stuff is dope too. I wonder what their influence is. Mm-hmm. So you work your way, you know, down the thread to figure out like who the real OGs of the space are. And I feel like that inevitably points back to you. And the tragedy would have been, in my eyes, if you had given up and just started like, I don't know, man, going back to marketing or like, you know, whatever behind the scenes stuff, you know, it just would be a shame to like lose you in this space. And I feel like everyone here is better off because of the contributions that you've made, whether or not they directly recognize that or not. Although they should, because they should be listening to this podcast and taking notes.
Support that. Plus one.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I really do appreciate that. That's awesome.
Should we shake them down, Matt?
I'm curious. Yeah. Like, what have you been collecting lately? Have you been collecting lately, or have you been focused more on creating? Always curious about that.
Always creating, always collecting. CryptoKitties. So,
oh shit.
Yeah, CryptoKitties was like what got me into NFTs. I think like a lot of people back in 2017, right?
Yeah.
And I had some, you know, Gen Zero early CryptoKitties, but here recently I've been collecting like the or at least trying to collect the special edition kitties and the exclusive kitties. Because to me, I liken CryptoKitties to Pokemon, right? Right now we're seeing this huge uptick in the price of Pokemon cards from like 20 years ago, right? People are selling these cards for hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, right? And I kind of liken that to CryptoKitties in the sense that there are so many different cats and they have different traits and different collectability aspects to them. And they're moving to the Flow blockchain. And when they move to Flow, they're going to have all this other functionality and utility, and they'll be animated instead of static. And like, I just see the world of CryptoKitties really, really exploding within the next, you know, 5, 10, 20 years. So I think right now is the opportunity to get some of these limited edition scarce cats. What else am I collecting? I have some Mythic Decentraland wearables. Mythic is a category where there's only been 10 of this particular wearable minted. So these are like the most scarce items within Decentraland as far as wearables go. So I've been trying to get some of those. Binance as well, they have some scarce items, and Binance is a huge brand. So I believe in those long term. Also, what else am I collecting? I don't know, man. If I see a nice piece of artwork, I'll collect that. You know, different things here and there.
Dude, I love that. And I've been seeing more and more people getting back into CryptoKitties, going after fancies and some of the more special editions and things like that. And it definitely feels like people are getting ready for like that 10, 20, 30 year fast forward into the future, right? Where people kind of rediscover what's old, and what's old is now new again and popular and selling for like 100,000x more than what it had been previously. And it's just kind of bonkers to think about how like the future of like the digital collectible / like digital artifact space is being made today. And you gotta like sort of put yourself in the shoes of someone 100 years, almost 200 years hence, and like imagine like them looking back on like music NFT scene or the art scene, maybe they call it crypto art still, whatever, and just imagining what happens to the work that's getting created today or has been created already. It's just kind of bonkers to really think about that future. It's dope that you're already there today, as per usual.
Totally. Oh, I wanted to say too, I just thought about this, Blankos. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Blankos, but it's a game being developed by, I think it was developed by the guys who also did like World of Warcraft, and they worked with Blizzard and you know, big name sort of studios, game studios. And they have some collectibles, these Blankos, which are like, you know, digital vinyl toys almost. And they're, you know, there's scarcity built into these because they're NFTs as well. So I've been trying to get a hold of these Blankos. The open beta, I think, launches next week or something like that. So yeah, I'm just trying to get a footing before that takes off too.
The gameplay for that looks really fun too, by the way. I've heard mixed reviews on, or like at least not a lot of open questions on the rarity aspect of the Blankos that people are collecting. I haven't seen any answers to that, but I mean, Jesus, AAA gaming house coming in, digital collectibles, you got to kind of at least get a little bit of exposure to that. And the gameplay again looks actually really, really, really good. Cool. Before we wrap things up, just want to make sure that you hit everything that you wanted to. Let folks know the links that they should know to follow you, where they need to sign up for the newsletter, how they can get on the whitelist for Thanky.club. Hit them with all the links, all the things.
Cool. All right. So you can follow me on Twitter at Connie Digital. You can join the newsletter at ConnieDigital.com/join. You can check out my website, my blog, my portfolio at danky.art. That's danky.art. But really, so long as you're subscribed to the newsletter, you'll get all the information and updates on everything I have going on. So,
yo, Connie, before we go, man, I'm just recalling right now this great interaction we had at NFT NYC when I was so bored and I turned to you and I was like, dude, why aren't you up on stage? And then you were like, why aren't you up on stage? And so as it turns out, man, at the Token Smart 2021 conference in Las Vegas, I will be up on stage. Are you going to be up on stage and give a presentation on music NFTs or whatever they're called at that point?
Wait, what? Hold on.
You gotta hit him with this now. We can chop this part out. I'm just trying to Connie into something.
Hold on.
He didn't want to do the podcast, so I figured I'll just drag his ass up on stage in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas? Wow.
Yes, man, we're putting on a conference in Las Vegas. And if you want to give a keynote speech on audio MP3s or something along those lines, I will drag your ass up on stage personally.
Okay. When is this?
Okay, yes. It's a yes. He said okay. End the podcast.
It's a wrap.
No, I don't know, man. Sometime in August, September, October, most likely next year is when we're targeting, when things are safe to travel and we can also get a reasonably good deal on a conference center in Las Vegas.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds pretty exciting. Yeah, we'll see what happens. August, September next year, as far as the world is concerned. But yeah, it sounds like a fun time. So
yeah, I'll put you down for a yes.
Boom. Cool. On that note, Connie, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show and just chatting, chopping it up. I love that. Wish you obviously nothing but the best. Really excited to continue watch you create and just make cool shit and inspire the masses to build the future out. So thank you so much and keep on creating, brother.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Pleasure.
Hey, everyone. Just want to give a big shout out to our December sponsor, F1 Delta Time. F1 Delta Time is an officially licensed Formula One blockchain-based game that utilizes the Ethereum blockchain to bring you a full Formula One racing experience, coupled with a revolution in gaming in the form of true digital ownership and a play-to-earn model. F1 Delta Time is all about collecting scarce digital items to fill your garage and leveraging these items to go head-to-head in multiplayer racing. Visit f1deltatime.com to join in various events running throughout December. That's f1deltatime.com.
Sent podcast.